The Business Buzz Podcast.
The Business Buzz.
Good day and welcome to the Business Buzz for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news right here on VAO FM. That's Voice of Wits 88.1. We're broadcasting live from our studios right here in Bramfontein, Johannesburg. My name is Ndiwa Mob Justice Gavaza and I'll be your host for today. Now, who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to unpack and keep you entertained, educated and intrigued about the world of business. Now, for today, we are coming back to the issue of small businesses. We're looking at, small business survival toolkits. This is part two. We actually did part one of this in May. And we are just going to be talking about the fact that with over 95% of all companies in South Africa being small and medium enterprises, business owners are anxious about the state of the economy amid the pandemic and how it's likely going to affect them in the long run. Today we look at how exactly are small businesses surviving during the lockdown and if there's going to be a need for South Africans to start exploring the option of focusing more on sustainable business opportunities to be able to withstand challenging economic circumstances. So to sort of help us to navigate the topic, we're going to be talking to someone who is no stranger to the show. And that is Lebo Pasha, who is a business strategist and the general manager of the African Management Institute. And he's going to be, joining us to talk about this. He joined us in the first show together with his colleague Irene when they were talking to us about their boot camps. And for today, they're just coming back to tell us a little bit more around some of the initiatives and the interventions that they've been running. And he's also coming through with Mduduzi Ndlovu, founder of Vision Future Hub Beauty Spa, who's going to be joining us because he's been on some of AMI's programs and he's actually implemented some of the strategies that they talk about in their workshops. So for today, it's just trying to understand some of the value that actually comes in a practical sense from some of these SME workshops that we hear a lot about. So it's going to be a good one, definitely. If you want to join in the conversation and let us know what you think, remember that you can join us on Facebook. That's VAO FM Voice of Wits. You can also join our other Facebook page, that is of Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VAO FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. You can also stream the station live on VAOFM.co.za. And remember that the Business Buzz podcasts are available on Wits.journalism.co.za/business. Alternatively, you can find us on iono.fm, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you choose to listen to your podcasts. Coming up for the next hour, we're also going to be getting into the business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And we're also going to be getting into the Buffalo Index for the state of your 100 Rand. So that's how the show is going to be looking like. Definitely make sure you don't turn that down. We're here for the next hour. Keep it locked. This is 88.1.
Business Wrap with Ken Sweatman.
It's time for us to get into the Business Wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we are joined by our financial expert, Ken Swettenham, on the line. Greetings, Ken. How are you?
I'm very well. As yourself?
No. We're doing all right. How has this week been going? I guess in the economy, in the markets, from what you've been perhaps paying attention to.
Well, it is surprisingly enough, and I'm sure I said this when I was last on your show, our stock market is holding up incredibly well, considering we've got an economy on the ropes. You wouldn't expect that at all. We don't have to go into details of what's happening in the economy, but there have been job losses in the region of 3 million. In fact, it's a figure I've heard bandied around in job losses. We've still got a lot of businesses not operating, a lot of businesses operating at only partial capacity. capacity, like the restaurant industry, for example. And of course, even businesses who were operating, like alcohol sales, who are no longer operating. So it's really an economy that is suffering at very best. But having said that, although we had a stock market, I won't call it a crash, but we had a severe downturn in the stock market during March as the lockdown became fairly obvious, we've had a reasonably good recovery, and we are down on the year, but we're only down about 4%, which in the bigger scheme of things is, it's not great for investments, but it's not a huge train smash either. So our stock market is holding up. Today it was down very slightly, just 0.33% to close at 55,729. And the other aspect, which we often talk about, is the currency. And the currency is surprisingly strong, currently trading at 16.55 to the US dollar, 20.92 to the pound, and for those who may be interested, under 19 at 18.93 to the euro. So strong currency, stock market that's holding its own. It could be worse, I can tell you that, Madiba.
I think, the only other thing I wanted to perhaps check with you is, I think the last time that we spoke, we were sort of kidding about the fact that we seem to have been moving towards what we termed as level 3 light at the time. But, with the recent announcements by the president, which you touched on just now, around the non-sale of alcohol, which recently came back into effect, and some the curfews that have also come into effect. Has there been any immediate reaction to any of that, or is that just one of those things that we're just going to have to see the impact of over time?
Yes, I think it will be a longer-term impact. There's been no immediate reaction in the economy, not from an economic point of view, because there's been a lot of political comment. Obviously, needless to say, one or two of our opposition parties, the DA in particular, has been quite vocal that government aren't doing things right. And we have to be realistic. There's a very fine balance between trying to get the health needs of the country right. And, our infections do appear to be going up quite drastically at the moment, and keeping the economy ticking over somehow. There's been talk of going down to lockdown level 5. In my opinion, that would be absolutely devastating, and I don't think we would do that, because it would ground the economy to an absolute halt and just put many more thousands of people out of work. So the government is treading that tightrope between trying to force the population to abide by the social distancing rules and wearing of masks and keeping infections to a minimum, yet still hoping to get the economy turning. And it's a very, very difficult path to tread. But the alcohol sales, just as an example, yes, it's very devastating on the economy, particularly certain sections of the economy. But the reason they're doing it is because it appears that a portion of our population can't drink responsibly. And alcohol does fill up hospital beds through car accidents and violence that seems to occur. And they need these beds open for potential COVID-19 patients. And that seems to be the motivation for stopping the alcohol sales rather than an economic one, from what I can see here.
So that's been us with our financial expert, Ken Swettenham, on the line, just giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. Just highlighting the fact that things are, ticking up, somewhat, because we are opening up. But the fact that we have some rising cases is a cause for concern. That said, the equity markets have been, they've been chugging along all right in the last couple of weeks. They've been chugging along all right in the last couple of weeks. And also just talking about the fact that alcohol sales and the president's recent announcements is something, the effects of which are likely to be seen more on a long-term basis, as opposed to something that is immediate. And just given the reasoning that the president gave around hospital beds and just making sure that the health system can cope purely with COVID-19 without the added pressure of other health emergencies like road accidents is an imperative right now. So that's been it for this Business Wrap. On the other side of this, we get into the Buffalo Index.
Business Wrap with Ken Swetnam.
The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into the Buffalo Index. That's when we tell you the state of your 100 Rand. And because today we're talking about the small business advice, with the small business workshops, we decided to go out and find out what it means to actually get an education in small business management. So the first one is coming through. There is a course in small business management, a proficiency course. That is a 6 month course. That is coming through from SME, you know, SME South Africa, and it looks to be, you know, quite an interesting one that they are offering here, and that's coming in at around 5,000 Rand, that's 4,999 Rand for the 6 month course. So in terms of your Buffalo, you need about 50 of these to be able to educate yourself. And then alternatively, there's the Academy of Work has something called the Small Business Entrepreneurship Program, which is a 9 month study program, and that's coming in at 10,000 Rand or a, you know, a hundred buffaloes, or 60 buffaloes after a bursary that they seem to be providing. Alternatively, for those that aren't looking on the high end, lower down, if you're looking for, you know, more accessible tools, you can actually go to LinkedIn Learning. They actually have courses around content marketing, search engine optimization, social media marketing, email marketing, lead generation, because LinkedIn Learning is an American massive opening online course that actually offers video courses taught by industry experts. Course categories include technology, creative, and business skills. You are also able to download LinkedIn Learning on your smartphone via one of the app stores, and they offer a number of different programs. Now, in terms of the prices, the platform offers a month's free trial, and thereafter you have to be paying per month for a basic plan coming in at around 2 buffaloes, that's 201 Rand. And then for the premium package, that one comes in at almost 3 buffaloes. That's 288 Rand about. And you can also have the option of actually paying per annum for some of these plans. Alternatively, you can also look at, AMI. That's the African Management Institute. You know, our guest is from AMI, and they've been doing a series of free boot camps to actually help you. So that might be an opportunity to get some business advice. So that's how your Buffalo is looking like for today. On the other side of this, we are gonna get into the main topic.
The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz. You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz, and for today we are talking around survival toolkits for small businesses. This is part two. We recently had another show just talking about what the impact has been on small business for because of COVID-19, and right now we just want to get into some of the ways in which businesses can continue to operate, perhaps use this time to reimagine themselves and to actually, thrive going forward. But before we get into the actual discussion, remember that you can keep in touch with us on Vow FM. That's a Voice of Vits on Facebook. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Vits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VowFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. Now, to unpack these issues, we are joined by someone who is no stranger to the show. We're joined by Lebo Pasha, who is a general manager at the African Management Institute, and he is going to be, just giving us, some insights into, what the sector has been looking like. like. And we're also joined by Mduduzi Ndlovu, who is the founder of Vision Future Hub Beauty Spa. And he's just going to be giving us some of the more practical insights into what it has meant to actually operate a business during this time. I think to start off, you know, Lebo, greetings to you. Can you, you know, we've heard it before, but I don't think we're ever going to get tired. Let us know, what are you guys doing at AMI?
So, greetings to you, Mudio. Greetings to Nduduzi as well, and all the VOW FM listeners. To kick off, I'd say AMI aims to help ambitious businesses across Africa to thrive. So we do this in various different ways, but we believe in using practical tools and also imparting skills to help businesses grow, to help SMEs grow and also scale up. We work across the African continent. We've got an office in Johannesburg, in Rwanda, in Kigali, also in Kenya, but we've worked right across the continent. And because of COVID-19 and the efforts we've put in, we've actually worked in probably about 35 African countries so far over the past couple of months. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And Mduduzi, Vision Future Hub Beauty Spa, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Thanks for having me. My name is Mduduzi Ndlovu, the CEO of Vision Future Hub. Basically, Vision Future Hub, it is a rebranded company where we were the Dolls Beauty Salon. So what happened when you rebrand, you restructure, we do hair, we do nails, we do a lot of beauty. Currently, we haven't started with the massage and everything. So we have identified where we say, listen, we are trading with our skills, with no business formal training or background. So I was introduced to AMI by one of my business associate and my business partner, Ignatius. So what I found out in AMI was that they will give you tools which are practical that you take to your business. So it's been a great journey having to join the AMI family, and they have been supportive throughout, during, before COVID, during COVID, and post COVID.
I think as a follow up for you, Mduduzi, can you just let us know, because you've started touching on before and during COVID, what did your business actually look like, you know, before the crisis actually came into effect?
We were in a process of restructuring, trying to find our own feet. So unfortunately, the COVID hit us hard. Because you remember, we've spent a lot of money trying to rebrand, to refurbish the space, new furnitures. We were expecting to recoup the money that we have spent refurbishing the space. So it was a blow. We haven't come up to our feet as yet.
I think, Lebo, I'd like to bring you in, you know, on this front, because he's already talking about, you know, what I think has been a very common experience, that there are a lot of people, a lot of business people, a lot of entrepreneurs that had plans. They had sort of, you know, you start the beginning of the year, you've got your goals, New Year's resolutions, my business is going to thrive in this way, and then you're sort of hit by, you know, this unexpected thing. What are some of the other things that you guys have sort of seen in the way that businesses have been affected by the lockdowns?
I think what Dudu has highlighted has hit quite a lot of growing businesses where people have invested in a particular business model, they've invested in infrastructure backing a business model, only to find that we've moved to a very stagnant economy and customers are not buying, or customers are buying in very different ways. So they've invested in infrastructure that is now either redundant, not being used anymore, or is probably irrelevant in the direction the business is moving in. The other thing we've seen is not just infrastructure, but the business itself becoming redundant. So, so for example, conferencing centers are really at a very bad space right now, with a lot of video conferencing being used because of social distancing. And we also foresee that video conferencing will be used going forward. So if you're running a conferencing center, you really need to rethink your business model and what you're actually selling to businesses, because going forward, you're going to start seeing a lot less bookings. And another industry that's really been hit hard is the tourism sector. It hasn't really reopened yet, and we've already heard some really hard stories from the likes of Airbnb saying the COVID crisis has basically wiped off about 7 years of growth and performance. We're also seeing it locally with some of our big hotel groups asking some of their workers to go home, and that they'll be called back when the tourism sector reopens. So there's definitely sectors that are more hard hit than others, but there are also some sectors that have seen opportunities increase. So anybody working in medical supplies, in transportation and logistics for those sort of products, working in food production, and also working in the retail sector, specifically with more essential items, those people have seen some continuing sales, but the ones who've seen increasing sales are the ones who've managed to adapt quite quickly to the changes in the customer needs, and those people have really managed to make a bit of money during this really difficult time. So we're seeing a lot of negatives, but there's a few positive stories where people have managed to see opportunities in this crisis.
I guess on that front of, you know, perhaps seeing opportunities and actually adjusting to the new way of doing business. Duduzi, you've told us what things were looking like before, you know, coming to the present. What is the business looking like? I think hair salons and similar types of businesses were allowed to start operating at the start of this month. I remember going to, you know, certain parts of Randburg, and there were queues, you know, going out the door, you know, at some of the hair salons, because some people hadn't cut their hair in almost 3 to 4 months. You know, so what has, you know, reopening your business and all of that, what has that meant?
We are only in 2 weeks in operation, so we haven't have much bookings as yet, because now we have cut the staff into 3 from 5 working staff. So now the thing that we want to do is to create the combos that will speak to our customers, so that we will be now see, are we growing the business, or the business it's staying in one position, or it's declining. So I would say, for me to say now the business it's good or bad, it's too early. Remember, in 2 weeks, people were already having their budget. People have lost work. So we expecting most of that we will lose some of the clients due to they don't have money, or now they won't be prioritizing our services as yet, because people are no longer earning full salaries. But I'm certainly sure that we will bounce back with the structure that we have, and the management that we have, and the plans that have been in place for us to bounce back. And what I would like to highlight is that the compliance have helped us a lot during the pandemic, because we were able to apply for relief funds, and luckily we did receive some funds for the business, even though it was not enough, because we have to pay the operation cost, the rent, and some stuff, and to live on that few money that we have received.
You know, that's actually a very good I like the fact that you're bringing up that point, because we actually spent a lot of time, we actually did two shows talking about the relief that the government was giving to both businesses and individuals during the lockdown. What was your experience like, you know, applying, you know, actually knowing about how to go about the applications, receiving the money? How was the actual experience for you?
Luckily, I'm too involved in an organization where we assist the informal sectors to be formal. So what we basically do, it's the compliance, it's so key and important. Your papers, when they are not in order, remember, government speak volumes in terms of he wants his SARS, his VET and everything. So what I did prior to the COVID, we've managed to put our papers in order. We were banking, even though we were not banking that much, but we were banking constantly. We have our company registration documents. A lot of things were in order. So the links, when they were sent to the website of small SMME, we did apply. The Kulula Relief Fund, your banks, and all those websites that were out there, we did apply, and we did receive something from a Kulula Relief Fund, which was a grant, not a loan. So it helped us a lot.
Lebo, I'd love to get your take on this matter. I remember I was just hearing an interesting statistic, which, you know, to be honest, saddened me to hear that some of the facilities that the government had made available, about 200 billion rand, that less than, you know, 2 billion or 1% of that money had actually gone towards small businesses. So, you know, you have a lot of exposure to the space and to a number of business people. You know, would you say that that type of statistic is sort of indicative of what you've been able, you know, to sort of gather? Because a lot of people are sort of coming up with ways to help people, whether it was banks or whether it was the government. Was this aid actually received by people that it was actually intended for?
So, Mugiro, there's been a number of challenges that we've seen in implementation of a lot of the COVID relief. And one of the things we focus on in our entrepreneurship programs, like the program Do Participated On, are 24 practices, which are organizational habits that you have to enable your business to grow, to accelerate growth in your business. And one of the big challenges is record keeping. A lot of small businesses struggle with things like record keeping. And if you don't keep records, it's difficult to do your taxes. So it would automatically exclude you from some of the government funding initiatives if you haven't done any record keeping or haven't done your financials and you haven't submitted or not up to date with your taxes. So you wouldn't have a tax clearance certificate. And then again, with the banks as well, you'd be required to submit some form of proof that your business is operating. So if you're operating purely from a cash basis and you don't have any other record of your transactions, you'd again fall off that sort of funding train. And there's a lot of other challenges that are typical for SMEs or micro enterprises in particular. And those are some of the challenges that I think were not really thought through thoroughly from a government point of view on how do you reach micro enterprises that do not have records, that do not have all of their compliance in order, and not exclude them from getting the assistance, because the mere fact that their compliance and their record keeping and their financials are not up to date does not mean that they do not require that assistance. So there's definitely a lot of challenges around some of the qualification criteria that have been put out by the different organizations, including the banks, including some of the government DFIs as well.
So we are here with Lebo and Mduduzi just talking about, you know, some of the challenges facing the SME sector and the interventions that Lebo and his team have been putting together for small businesses. We're just going to take a quick break and then we'll be back on the other side of this.
Forget what the little birdie told you. Follow us at Bo FM and join the conversation. The Business Buzz.
Before we continue with our conversation around, you know, the small business survival toolkits, it's time for us to get into the COVID Business Watch. This is a new segment where we're going to be looking at how different industries and industry players have been responding, or have been firstly affected and secondly responding, and I guess the outlook around, you know, their particular industries and business. So for today, our producer Slind Lemsi spoke to Khomotso Mampuru, who is a pharmacist by profession with a Bachelor of Pharmacy degree from the University of Limpopo's Turflop campus, currently working for the Department of Health in Limpopo province, and actually is a part-time self-taught makeup artist and the CEO of Lehots Makeup, which was founded in 2017. The company is actually based in Polokwane, but offering services to clients all around South Africa. So we basically went and asked her, how did her beauty, the beauty business, actually get affected by the global pandemic? Do you think you are going to recover quickly, and why? And why would you advise other beauty business owners to actually do during this time? So here's what they had to say.
You know, the beauty industry in South Africa is a huge and broad industry and very much in demand. I mean, any lady wants to look good for whatever event they are attending, be it a wedding, their graduation, a party, a baby shower. And since the start of the COVID-19 and the 21 days lockdown in South Africa, it has really impacted business in a huge way. I mean, for me personally, as a makeup artist, whereby I had clients lined up almost every weekend, clients booked, fully booked, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every weekend. It has really impacted my business in a huge way, financially more than any other way. Because, I mean, if there are no clients, it means there is no form of money that is coming in, you know. And recovering from this pandemic is going to be, it's going to be really, really, really tricky, because we have to consider two things. Number one, when is this COVID-19 going to end? And number two, when the country is going to go back to normal? And until those two points have been met, then it's still going to be a roller coaster ride for people in the business, in the beauty industry. And even though things go back to normal, like in the country very soon, people still have to reschedule, like, events that they had planned, like your weddings, they will have to be rescheduled. Some people would not want to do parties anymore because the set date has been has already passed. So there is no use of making another date, booking another date, you know. And it's going to be a very, very tough situation to recover from. But, you know, with everything bad that comes, you always have to make the best out of it, you know. I mean, you can be at home with no clients, yes. But I think for me as a makeup artist personally, and I think for other makeup artists, this is a really good time to actually sharpen your makeup skills. I mean, we are in lockdown, yes, but you can always use one of your family members or even yourself as a muse to actually try out new looks and, you know, try, you know, different looks to add to your profile, you know. And with me as well, I had I had one-on-one sessions with clients, whereby any clients that would want to work on their makeup skills for themselves, I would do one-on-one with those kind of clients. And since the lockdown, I've actually opted to start doing virtual, that is online one-on-one sessions. So there's still some form of a stream of money that is coming in, but online.
You don't have to be a liker to like things.
Oh my God.
So like us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Facebook. At VFM, in brackets, Voice of Vince. You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. We are talking about the small business survival toolkit. This is part two of this series that we're doing just around what's going on in the small business sector ever since COVID-19 started to dominate our lives. And we are here on the line with Lebo Pasha, who is the general manager at the African Management Institute, together with Nduduzi Ndlovu, who is founder and CEO of Vision Future Hub Beauty Spa. Lebo, I just want to now shift to the interventions. I think just before the break, you had already started touching on, you know, some of these issues, things like record keeping. You guys have been putting together, you know, boot camps and that sort of thing, and I understand you've been a very busy man. Can you give us a sense of what the last couple of months have looked like for you?
So the last couple of months have been really, really busy for us. I think in March, when we realized the extent of the COVID pandemic and the potential impact on some of our clients, being micro enterprises, being startups, micro enterprises and SMEs, and also large corporations, we took a step back at AMI and decided to try and look for a way in which we could contribute to helping these businesses survive. So one of the key things for us this year was trying to find a way that we could touch and help as many SMEs survive the COVID crisis. So we looked at what we do best, which is supporting SMEs, and we developed the COVID survival bootcamp, which consists of a webinar, a 90-minute webinar, and 2 weeks of online access to tools that support the concepts that are learned in this webinar, as well as an online community where we've had people from all across the African continent collaborate and talk and build a online community. So since the beginning of March, when we started doing these bootcamps, we've had registrations from 47 countries globally. We've had 3,700 registrations for the webinar, and we've managed to impart really valuable tools and skills. So the focus of that particular webinar was on scenario planning, which is focused on making decisions in times of uncertainty. We looked at risk management and risk mitigation, and then finally we looked at cash flow forecasting. So the goal with that bootcamp was to help any entrepreneur out there, any business owner, really better understand what sort of runway they have in terms of the cash they have in their business, how long their business would survive with the current cash, and also how different scenarios or different variables would affect their business. One of the variables we looked at is how long the lockdown would be, and what the shape of the lockdown will be. And we looked at those sort of things to help a business owner make decisions around things like their team, things like infrastructure, what infrastructure do they need, understanding better what their customers need as well, keeping contact with customers, their suppliers. But it's a very holistic, short and impactful program to help any person out there, especially people still in the tourism sector who haven't opened fully, deal with the uncertainty around the lockdown and ensure that they make impactful decisions going forward.
And your journey with Mduduzi?
So our journey with Mduduzi started last year when he participated in one of our programs. And him, together with an organization in Soweto called SILA. So our relationship with them started last year with him attending one of our programs called Grow Your Business. It's now being revamped and called Survive to Thrive, but he was one of the participants in the program. And Mdubu had a couple of challenges, one of them being that he wanted to
his business had grown over the years, but he wanted to now formalize a lot of things in his business. So build in processes and deal with some of the issues that he had in his business. So I'll let him speak to the detail, but some of the highlights that I saw when I met with him and I visited the salon in Deep Loof is that he looked at rebranding and also looked at partnerships on how he could work with the other businesses in his area to increase all of their business. So looking at a shared value model to increase business in the area, and also looking at alternative revenue streams and different business models. So I've seen a huge change in the way he conducts his business, and also in the way that he's working with his team as well, because the focus of the program was not just developing the owner, but developing the team as well.
Duduzi, your take on this, how has your experience been, you know, just sort of going through, you know, some of these, you know, support programs? Because we hear a lot of people trying to help businesses around the country, and sometimes it's questionable whether or not they actually are receiving the help or not. You know, what's your take?
I'm very much happy to have met Ignatius as one of a business partner, because what I did, I sell few of my shares of my company. So luckily Ignatius is an accountant by profession. So he said to me, you are trading with the skill. You know how to do hair. You are a hairdresser and a professional. I'm an accountant. But what I would love you to do, go and learn more about the office or about the accounting side of things, about the business. So when I went to AMI, I've realized that there were a lot of things that we were doing wrong, or I was doing wrong as a business person. One, I was self-employed instead of being an entrepreneur. So I will sit at the saloon the entire day. I will do the booking. I will do the banking. I will do the stock. I will do everything. So I couldn't delegate. Even if my staff were there, I was having two of my staff members. But I will prefer to do everything on my own, which was very bad for business. For instance, if I'm sick, the business can't operate, because the business depend on me instead of the business being able to operate on its own. So when I was at AMI, what I did a course of bookkeeping. So I also went to one of our business partners, which is ORT, and inquire if they can source me an administrator, which it's an intern. So they will pay the intern on their side. So what I will do, I will share my experience of bookkeeping to that particular receptionist and intern to say, now, with or without me, the business must continue. So it's more putting systems in place for your business to continue to operate. So now I don't need to be on a salon on a day-to-day unless I have bookings. So I will be able to focus on other businesses that I'm involved in. So AMI has put those working tools which were helpful, because I will print and explain to the lady, this is how we're going to do things. This is how we're going to do our banking. If we're banking weekly, this is how we're going to do it. If we're banking fortnight, this is how we're going to do it. And then these are our creditors, these are our debtors. So it's a lot of office than the skill that we trade with, or the service that we're offering. But our office, I can easily say now, it's becoming, or it's been in shape. Because if you ask me how many clients do I see in a month, I will be able to see, to tell you how many clients do I see, because we've invested in a booking app that will be able to calculate all those things for us. It makes easier for the receptionist as well.
And right now, in terms of where things are going, I remember earlier on you were saying that you feel like it's a bit too early to sort of assess or try to see what the business is actually looking like, you know, since you guys were able to operate again. What are you actually excited about, you know, going forward? We often hear about all the bad things going on right now with businesses, but what are you excited about in your business?
What we did, we reintroduce ourselves to our customers that we are back, and then they've started doing their bookings. So the next week is looking good in terms of our appointments. So I will be retaining, because we were only two of us. It's me and the reception lady, and I mean three of us and my baba. So now I'll be retaining the nail technician, because we've created a combo. I will be retaining the other lady for plating. It's winter, people want to plait. So now at least our team will now have work to do, unlike calling them back to work where there will be no clients. So remember, there will be transport fee and everything. So I said to them, let me go back with few of my staff members and regroup, so that when the appointments start to flow in, I will then call you back, guys. Because remember, we will be working strictly per appointment. No mask, no entry, no appointment, no attendance. So that's what we were doing, just to inform our customers the new way of doing things, that we will be strictly taking appointments according to the regulation of the government, so that there will be no waiting area. So a client will come, be attended, and leave.
Now, Lebo, just judging from the confidence that Duduzi talks with when it comes to his business and the structures that they have in place, it does sound like, you know, you have I think the term that's commonly used, you have a satisfied customer on your hands. So in terms of when you see some of these stories where you actually see things happening, the sort of people putting some of the tools that you guys are advocating for into place, what does that actually, you know, sort of do for you guys? Does it sort of help you to keep going? Do you find some of these experiences as a way to maybe improve your courses? How does it make you feel?
No, it definitely makes us feel really good. This is why we do what we do. We want to see impact. And even the way our programs are structured, they're structured for impact. So it's not about people writing evaluations or tests or exams and passing those and not being able to apply their knowledge. We want people to find tools that they can use practically in their business today. So Du's story is very inspirational for us. Even now during COVID, he has participated in our COVID survival boot camp. We've done a second boot camp now called Reboot, which looks at readapting your business, looking at innovation in the new normal. I hope you'll also attend that one. But we're really proud of what he's done so far, and not just his progress. We're in a very tough economy right now. Also his resilience. I think that's something really to be noted by everybody. He's an extremely resilient business person. He's been doing this for a while.
And then I understand there is an upcoming one on Friday.
Yes, we've got track two of our boot camps, which look at innovating in the new normal, and we look at the next steps around how to reboot your business, how to relaunch if you need to relaunch your business, how to drive new sales, and also helping people. Most business people focus on the day-to-day of running. Business owners focus on the day-to-day running of their business. They focus on today and next week and month end, but they don't really have time to step back and strategize. And this is the time to do it, especially because things have changed. So we also look at things like rapid market testing. How do you test whether your product or service is still relevant in the market, or whether you could shift a bit and capture a new market that has been created by the pandemic, or will be there post-COVID, because we're already talking about post-COVID. So
yes, we invite Mdudu and all the other entrepreneurs out there to register for this on our website.
Duduzi, what is your advice for other business people? Because you had the unfortunate position of having to close your business because of the lockdown, but you sound confident about the future. So what's your advice just for other business people to keep their hopes up and actually execute on some of the strategies that they're coming up with?
My advice is, guys, a lot has been happening before COVID. The compliance is the key, because remember, in our industry, as beauty industry, we're more trading with our skills. But the difficult part is, you know, how much do you make on a daily, monthly, weekly, the turnover of your business. That will also be a challenge, or you can be able to create targets for yourself. And to delegate, it's so important. You can't be an all-rounder when you want to grow a business or a brand. You need to have people that will assist you. You need to have expertise people in your business for you to see the growth. So what I did, it's definitely that I cannot be doing everything on my own while I need to create job for other people. Because the problem is, how am I going to pay this person? So when you cost your pricing of your services or your product, you cost all of those things that this is for levies and. So the costing is so important. You cannot be doing a service of 100 rand while the total cost of it is 500 rand. So you're running at a loss. So the costing is so important, which I only get to understand when I'm attending at AMI, that there are a lot of factors in the business that it's out there, but you keep on ignoring it. So for our industry to bounce back, try and regroup and refocus on your office more than the service that you offer. You'll get to see whether you are growing the business or not. But I'm definitely sure once they can, because what I can say, I'm a pilot project for our SILA organization. So what I did, what we did with Ignatius was, do go and attend this course. Come back and implement in your business so that we will show our members that this thing, guys, is happening. So when we say to them, go and join AMI, I will be someone that they will be looking up and say, this thing, it's doable. If you can do it, so can you.
Very wise words. Walking the talk. That's what Mduduzi is saying. Lebo, you have the last word on this conversation. I think the last time we actually engaged on this topic in our first episode around the survival toolkits for small businesses, I remember you and Irene giving us some insights into what was going on in the SME space, both locally and in Africa. So what's your outlook going forward, just in terms of the small business sector across the continent? Where do you sort of see things going?
So the big difference, I think, from the last time is we saw the economy open up substantially from level 5 to now at level 3, but we're also seeing the caseload for COVID increasing quite sharply, which means that we might not be legally at a level 5, but in substance we will be, because people will be staying home, they won't be shopping as much, they will be behaving as they probably did under level 5. So the big shift now is a lot of business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs are realizing there are definitely opportunities. They need to reconnect with their customers, understand their customer needs, get more insights around what their customer pains are, and also understand what their own resources and their knowledge is and how they can leverage that
to create new business lines, new products, new services. So I definitely urge all of the entrepreneurs out there to really start thinking really hard about a post-COVID world, because next year will be that post-COVID world, hopefully.
Hopefully. Hopefully that will be a post-COVID world that we'll be walking into in 2021. So that was us with Lebo Pasha, who is a business strategist and general manager for Southern Africa at the African Management Institute. Just giving us, part two of, survival toolkits for, small businesses, just telling us about what they've been doing in their boot camps, and just coming in with Mududuzi Ndlovu, who is the founder and CEO of Vision Future Hub Beauty Spa, just giving us that practical example, because we often, as I said just now, we often hear of people trying to help businesses to grow and to thrive, but what we've actually been privy to today in today's discussion, we actually see the theory and the practice working hand in hand, that these programs actually can work. I think it's definitely a good thing. Lebo just highlighting the fact that there might be some tension for businesses going forward, because officially we're not at level 5, but in essence, in practice, we're closer to that than we were, to the softer level 3 that we started the month of June in. But also at the same time, just talking about the fact that he is confident about the future of his business, and also just talking about the power of having relationships with people, not doing everything by yourself, and going out into the world to gain that knowledge and that experience that will actually help you to grow. So that's been it in terms of this discussion. Very fascinating. It's always good to just see and hear what's going on the ground. On the other side of this, we come to the end of the show. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
So that's been it for this edition of The Business Buzz. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening. Thank you to Mduduzi and Lebo for sharing their insights with us. It was actually pretty good to hear, someone like Mduduzi talking about their business. Firstly, how it was before COVID, how it was impacted during COVID, the fact that he actually, cut down on staff. But now that they've, reopened and starting to operate again, he is actually hopeful about what the future holds. More than anything else, just that idea of, the teamwork and actually going out to actually equip yourself with the skills. And then shout out to Lebo. He is one of our financial experts who often gives us our business rap. But today he was coming in wearing a different cap, telling us about the work that they are doing with the African Management Institute and the boot camps and workshops that they are having for small business owners, trying to help them to adapt to this new time and reimagine, reconfigure what their businesses might be looking like in the future going forward. Now, the small business sector is a very important part of the economy. In terms of a GDP contribution, by some estimates, it's more than half of the country's GDP, and is a big employer, a significant employer of people. So it's a sector that definitely needs to be supported. And it's very sad when you hear about some of the things going on, like the fact that by some measures, less than 1-2% of the 200 billion that was earmarked for businesses around South Africa as part of the government's stimulus package actually has not gone to small to medium enterprises, which is a very sad state of affairs. As we said, very important part of the economy. So let us know what you think. Are you a business owner? What was your experience like? I think that was also another interesting thing to hear from Duduzi, just his experience actually trying to get the funding that government had actually set aside, his experience, because it's something that we spent time during the last couple of weeks trying to tackle, you know, getting that money from the government for individuals and businesses. So that's been it for today. Remember that you can engage with us. Let us know what you think. On Facebook, we are Vow FM. That's the voice of Wits. You can also find our other Facebook page. That is the Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at Vow FM. And then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. So remember that you can also search for us on iona.fm for podcasts, and all our links, you can find them there. And then for the rest of our content, you can find it on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So for today, that's it. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our technical producer is Kutlwano Serame, together with our executive producer, Glory Mabuza, and our producer, Slindi Mulsibi. Would like to welcome back, Simba Honde, who, has been part of our team last year, and he recently came back to the fold. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insights into the world of business. And make sure you don't turn that dial because there's more great content coming up on the Vow FM lineup. So for myself, Leo Mob, Justice Gawaza, and the rest of the team, it is good evening. It is somewhat in the afternoon, so take care.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz. The Business Buzz Podcast.